John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Monday, April 15th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. Hope everybody had a glorious baseball weekend. This, of course, the 77th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. I love it. All players are wearing 42. To me, it's always a big day because it allows whatever new baseball fans there are to the sport to get to hear the story of Jackie Robinson, Plouffe.
It's awesome. My kids love Jackie Robinson. My son did like one of these reports on him. Mm-hmm. We've watched the movie together. If you ask my daughter to name a baseball player, the first thing she's going to say is Jackie Robinson. So I love that we're keeping the history alive. I love that everyone wears 42 on today. And I especially love it because I hit a bunch of homers on Jackie Robinson Day. I think I got two.
Ah. Okay,
just celebrating the guy, man. What a stud. I think what people need to remember about him, I mean, not more so, because obviously what we remember is pretty good, but this guy was a stud athlete, just not in baseball. Like, he was a freak.
Yep. Played football, ran track, did it all. So, I love it when they all wear 42 together, and I love it that changed about 20-plus years ago. Very, very cool. We'll start off with a tip of the cap. And that would be to our John Boy Media community. On Friday, we had our first ever live edition of Baseball Today. The place was jam-packed. Thanks so much to Boomtown Brewery. Great job by production man Bill and producer Dan and our interns Daniel and Tommy. Y'all did a bang-up job. And thank you to our community, which I think had an amazing time. And I'm going to guess this is not our last live edition of Baseball Today.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was not sure what to expect, Chris. I think both you and I were like, okay, let's try this out. Let's see what's going to happen. It was at a horrible time of the day because it was Friday in downtown LA, about 4 o'clock. If you know anything about that, it's difficult to go anywhere. And people showed up, man. We sold out the event. I think it was great because we were able to give each person that came, you know, a little bit of personal time, really connect. And I think that's like my favorite part of the whole thing. Is just meeting people and like hearing when they listen and why they listen. And, you know, they offer critiques of the show a lot, which is fine with us. We love it. But it was just, it was an awesome event. Everyone that showed up was very engaged. That's what Olivia, who came as well, she said, well, the cool thing was that while you guys were talking, not like one person was on their phone. They were very engaged just watching the show. And I was like, these people are baseball nuts. We all are.
That's true. If you want to see how the event unfolded, it is available on our YouTube channel and in podcast form. So you can look at it. And that includes our Q&A that we did after the show for about 25 minutes. So make sure you check that out. Leave some comments. If you have some suggestions on how to improve it, by all means, we're willing to listen. A few milestones over the weekend. Congratulations to Jackson Holliday, who was like, hey, forget about my first hit. I was just happy to put the ball in play because he had been, unfortunately, a strikeout artist. So very good for him as his bright young career is off and running. And Andrew McCutchen, he just continues to add the accolades, whether it's more than 2,000 hits or now in the big fly category.
In the air, out to left and deep. Marsh to the wall. There it is! 300 home runs for Andrew McCutchen!
Thank you. Hey, man, you got the ball, bro!
I love that little kid who's wearing a Pirates jersey, a Clemente jersey at that, brings back home run number 300. And by the way, if you're wondering what the kid got, he got at least a signed bat. I saw that in a picture and a memory for a lifetime. There's not so much to talk about it like Kutch, what does he mean in the grand scheme of things? It's more that he just continues to do things the right way, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a universally loved player, and I'm very fortunate to have like spent a lot of time with Kutch and to really get to know him early on. We were on the Arizona Fall League team together, and since then have remained friends. And he just really is one of the good guys in the sport. Like, great father, great husband, great teammates, like everything that you can think of. He's just good at, like, he's, and it's not fake and it's not forced at all. Right. Like, he's one of those guys that's inherently cool. Lightning quick hands. I think that's the one thing I'll always, like, when I think about Kutch on the field, it's like, you know, however his setup was throughout his career, it was always just boom to the ball. And the 300 homers is nothing to sneeze at. And maybe one of the better 4-year runs, like, of our, of like, kind of like my playing time, 11, 12, 13, 14, 12, 13, 14, 15, MVP 3, MVP 1, MVP 3, MVP 5. All Silver Sluggers, all All-Stars.
Pretty special. He became just the 13th player with 2,000 hits, 400 doubles, 45 triples, 300 homers, and at least 200 stolen bases, and becomes just the fourth player ever to hit number 300 in a Pirates jersey. Pops, Willie Stargell, Ralph Kiner, and Jeremy Bernitz. Who knew?
I don't think he cusses either. I think he says, like, bump that junk.
Oh.
Instead of saying, like, F that, you know what? He says, yeah, bump that junk.
Interesting. Didn't know. Okay.
He's the best.
He is awesome. Did you know, by the way, did you know when you were playing with him at such a young age where you're like, dude's different?
Yeah. Yeah. You could tell. Like, he just did things, like, better. Like, he was, you know, the power wasn't there initially when we were younger. But watching him run and, like, watching him do all the things on the baseball field, it all just kind of, I don't want to say it looked easy, but it looked like how it's supposed to look. Like, when you look at someone, like, okay, like, I want to see, like, the best runners, and you'd watch him run, you'd be like, oh, okay, that looks great. Go, when he would go get the ball in center field, or, like, when he at the plate, like, just his presence, everything looked right, even from a young age.
Got it. Got it. I am donning a New York Yankees hat the day after they took a series for my Cleveland Guardians, but respect. The Yankees have won all five of the series in which they have played. We both had some questions about New York going into the season. Do we need to reevaluate our opinion of them?
I don't know how many questions we had. What did I question a lot of it? I think.
Well, we did ask a question whether or not they were a top three team in the AL going into the year. I know I said no. I believe you said no. Thoughts?
I'm not sure if I did or not, but I will say this. I think we do need to reevaluate this team, partly because of what Volpe's doing. And now they're putting him at the top of the lineup. And now I think that's what a lot of people were saying about the Yankees is, okay, well, they have some pitching, but, you know, Gerrit Cole gets injured. Like, what's Rodon going to look like? What's that pitching going to look like? And they've gotten some performances out of some guys there, and that's been good. But Volpe, to me, has been the difference maker. You have him at shortstop doing his thing, won the Gold Glove last year. He's not going to one dot it throughout the season, but he's put up really, really good at bats enough where, like, you're going to bat him lead off in front of Soto, in front of Judge. And then you start thinking, okay, then you got Rizzo, then you got Stanton. And it's like, all of a sudden we're seeing a little bit of a longer lineup there. And he's a big reason why. So, I mean, to not lose a series so far this year, to do what they've done, to see some of these guys go, like Luis Gil's doing his thing. Rodon has been dominant. Nestor Cortez, Marcus Stroman, like, I knew he was going to look good. I knew, like, New York fits him, and it's been that way so far to start this year. So I think if you were questioning the pitching staff, because I guess there was some questions, you know, you didn't know what Stroman was going to do. What was Rodon going to bounce back? You know, no Gerrit Cole, who's going to step up? All of a sudden Luis Gil has, like, it looks like a very good team who's going to get Gerrit Cole back in the mix here.
Yeah, I mean, and they really haven't gotten much from Judge. I know they hit one to the moon yesterday, but he has had a slow start. Volpe has obviously been the difference maker. It reminded me a little bit when, you know, when Jeter first came up, he was hitting ninth, you know. Now, they were a very, very good team, and it's kind of similar here. You do have guys throughout the order who have certainly accomplished an awful lot, but then it kind of turned, and all of a sudden, before you know it, Derek Jeter was hitting at the top of the lineup, and that's where you find Volpe. I think the thing that has impressed me most about him is that he's really not striking out a ton. So as long as you're putting the ball in play, he's a good athlete. He's going to find some holes, and he's also hitting gaps, man. He's smashing the ball. He is a good player. The thing that has surprised me most about New York, not the fact that their bullpen has been good, because even in years where they weren't great, it always felt like they would find guys to be really solid out of the bullpen. They are not striking people out. They're not missing bats. And I don't know if that's just a beginning of the year thing or if that's going to carry through. Like even Clay Holmes, who hasn't given up an earned run yet this year, is not striking out guys. So is that something that will continue through? And that's not what you want at the back end of your bullpen. Like that's something that would, you know, cause me to question them still a little bit. You want to be missing bats. That's why we always have this talk about velocity out of the bullpen. You want to be missing bats because when you miss bats, good things happen.
Yeah, I'd agree. They probably want to, you know, shore that up and start missing some more bats. But, you know, you're letting a guy like Volpe behind you have the ball. And, you know, and I know the infield defense has been shaky as well besides him. So that's kind of like a interesting thing there, that those two put together is usually a bad thing. But here we are with the Yankees, I believe, with the best record in the AL and haven't lost a series yet.
Yeah, and their schedule's been no joke. It's not like they played a bunch of softies. You know, I mean, yes, Miami, but other than that, they've played really, really good competitive baseball teams, and that will continue as they are north of the border to start a series tonight in Toronto. Today's episode of Baseball Today is sponsored by our friends over at SeatGeek. If you have no idea what SeatGeek is, first of all, let's go. Get on this train. They're the number one ticketing app that makes buying tickets super simple. More than 28 million downloads has thus made it the number one rated ticketing app around. Did you know there are more than 70,000 events every single day on SeatGeek? That includes sports, concerts, festivals, and oh so much more. And here's where SeatGeek differs itself from all those other ticket brokers. They want to make sure you're getting the best deal possible. They don't just want your money and say, okay, we'll see you next time. Uh-uh. They go the extra mile. They rate every ticket on a scale of 0 to 10, and they dot it too. Green deal, green dot means it's a great deal. Red dot means slow your roll. You might even look at, let's say you want tickets to an NBA playoff game, for instance, and you see that there's a red dot, but the seat's on the floor, and you go, well, how the heck could that be bad for me? Well, it's not the best deal possible. So they are looking out for you and your wallet. And every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. SeatGeek's the only site that lets you return tickets ahead of the event with swaps. On top of that, we got the hookup. You use that code word today, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. That is $20 off your first purchase with the promo code today. So click on the link in the description. Off you go. We'll see you at a sporting event, concert, or festival near you. Go ahead, caller.
One thing about the Yankees, and I didn't know this till I was just on their page looking. You mentioned, you know, Volpe not striking out a lot. So I was like, okay, like, what's he doing? 10 walks, 9 strikeouts. So more walks than strikeouts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge, 16 walks to 15 strikeouts. Both those guys, I mean, Volpe did not have a nice percentage last year in that regard, right. Walks to strikeout. And Judge, you know, it's not bad, but like typically he's got, you know, like a 1-to-2 ratio there. Who came over this year who also has 15 walks to 10 strikeouts? Juan Soto, he's having the effect, people.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's real life.
If you go look at their chase rate, that number is down significantly. Down significantly. By the way, Nikki in the chat says, Rose, please tell us more about SeatGeek. I just told you, Nikki. Click on the link in the description. Or I'll tell you more, I'm sure, later in the week. I know
so
you
easy. Jake Storiale can do it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Cubs continue their West Coast swing. A stop in Arizona starting on Monday. Michael Busch looking to homer in his 5th straight game. Which Cubs rookie has wowed you more to this point? Busch or Shota Imanaga?
This question kind of sucks because it is, to me, it's Shota Imanaga. You know, he's been able to do some really...
Did you just say the question kind of sucks?
Yeah, because I want to talk about Michael Busch too. Hopefully you're doing that. Are you?
We'll see in a second.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk to Shota.
The most interesting to me and like the eye opening has been Shota. You know, again, I've talked about this before. He was my rookie of the year pick to begin the year. Just hearing guys talk about him in spring training, you know, didn't get to watch much of it. The strikeout numbers were eye popping. But then to come do it and have the start that he's had at the big league level is awesome, man. 15 and third innings pitch. He hasn't given up an earned run yet. You know, he continues to go like deeper into games. He's like a pitcher. He has stuff. Like he almost like holds back on his fastball, like, you know, averaging 93, but he can hump it up to like 96. He keeps guys off balance, like gets bad swings. I mean, you're talking about adding what looks like at worst a number two starter to your ball club. And not too many teams like get to do that in the offseason. It seems like the Cubs have really, really hit on this guy. You know, three starts in. I know there's still a lot of season left, but the way he's been able to do it, it looks like there's a real chance for sustained success here. So we'll see it once the league gets adjusted to him and what adjustments they do make and what he's going to do to counteract that. But his first three starts of the year have just been incredible.
I think we both picked him to win National League Rookie of the Year, didn't we?
I don't know.
I know I did. Didn't you?
I did.
I think, yeah, well, then in that case, we both did. We did. Yeah, producer Dan just got in our ear and said, you did, yo. Of course, because he can't finish any sentence without the word yo at the end.
Or bro.
Or bro. Or bro, you're right. I felt a little guilty picking that because I always do when we're picking guys who come over from wherever and they've been a pro for 6 or 7 years. Like, I just think it's different. By the way, this Michael Busch trade, I don't know what it's going to look like for the Dodgers because they got a couple, I believe, of pitchers who were like an A-ball or something. They needed to clear some 40-man space. That was the deal. Part of the reason that they made that trade. And they ended up getting some guys who could end up being good in a few years. And that's how Andrew Friedman has built this organization. I'm not ever going to sit here and question his moves because his track record is nearly impeccable. But I am happy for Michael Busch that he got the opportunity finally. The at-bats were not going to come in Los Angeles. The Cubs had questions at the corners. He's now settled in nicely, and good for him. I mean, he had almost 30 bombs a year ago. He is 26 years old, so he's already got his man strength. We're not waiting for those man muscles to develop. And this is great. This is the sort of thing that will allow the Cubs to separate themselves from those other teams in the National League Central, getting productivity from guys you didn't necessarily expect it from. With Imanaga, they knew what they were paying for. We're paying for a seasoned pro. It'll take a little while maybe to translate over here. It has not. Michael Busch, you're like, we think he can do it. And yes, he's doing it. I'm happy for him and I'm happy for the Cubs.
He's 26 years old, man. And sometimes you just get blocked in an organization, especially an organization like the Dodgers, who have brought in some real high-end talent that they're going to play no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So Busch has had great minor league numbers, kind of got like, you know, like yo-yoed up and down last year, didn't really get a good chance to establish himself. And now I believe he's started 14 games at first base for the Cubs. He's kind of got one position down, and that's when you start to get comfortable. It's not easy switching organizations, but for a guy like that, he welcomed it because he's like, okay, here's my opportunity. And he's just, you know, he's off and running with it. It's really, really cool to see. And you remember, like, there are guys that just get blocked. Ryan Howard was blocked, people, by Jim Thome, and then all of a sudden, here he comes.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
Okay. Padres take 2-3 in L.A., a rain-soaked weekend at Dodger Stadium. Jerkson Profar was in the middle of it all. Saturday, he didn't like Gavin Stone throwing one high and tight. It was during a perfect game. And the bench is kind of emptied and all that sort of stuff. Afterward, the Dodgers catcher, Will Smith, was asked about maybe throwing at Profar. He said, I don't know why we would have thrown at him. He's kind of irrelevant. Well, Sunday, Mr. Irrelevant ended up hitting a bases-clearing double in the seventh. That was the difference in the Padres' win in L.A. and their series win. So what was better, Smith's line or Profar's response?
I wasn't into the Smith line at all, and like I'm a big fan of his playing ability, but I think that one was just kind of – he didn't need to say it because – no, for whatever it is. I know Will Smith, he's one of the best catchers in baseball. Just got paid. Like, he's a legitimate star. Jerkson Profar, you know, he's been around. He just got his, I believe, 10-year service time mark in the big leagues. So you're not irrelevant if you stick around that long. So if you're asking me who got the better of this deal, it's Jerkson Profar. He had to stand up at the plate, clear the bases, and do his thing on second base. We already got T-shirts with Mystery Irrelevant in our shop.johnboy media shop. So he won this one. I don't think you ever really need to go out and poke the bear, if you will, right? Like, The Dodgers don't need to do that. They've already put out the it's everyone's World Series against us. And maybe both these guys, Mookie saying that, he didn't mean like, hey, like everyone wants the BS. Or maybe he kind of did, but that's something you just kind of don't say. And maybe in that lineup, Profar isn't the most relevant guy. There's other guys that you'd, you know, go after, I guess, if you were going to hit somebody, which clearly they weren't going after him. Like, you know, he was just caught up in the heat of the moment. Okay, no way Gavin Stone is going to throw at you during a time where he's retired 13 straight batters. So that whole thing was just a misunderstanding. But you don't need to do that, man. Don't give anybody any added motivation. I guarantee Profar gets up there and all like he wants to win the game and do well regardless of that. But I've had this happen to me, man, and I'm sure everyone's experienced it in their lifetime. When someone gives you reason to focus a little more, it helps you. Like if you can channel that like pissed off anger and channel it the right way, I mean, it's an advantage. So, you know, he didn't need to say that. And Profar definitely got the better of this exchange because they won the series too.
Yeah, I'm team Profar on this one. I really am. Now, when I saw him get a huffy puffy during the perfect game, I was like, you need to have a little bit better sense of what is happening.
Yes.
And you know what happened? Jerkson Profar was mic'd up during the ESPN broadcast. They asked him about it. He said, yeah, I was out of line. Like, that's on me. That's on me. And then after the game on Sunday night, he said, listen, I don't care if he calls me Mr. Irrelevant. Like, I'm not a media type guy. It's just, he just kind of played it off. He wasn't like, yeah, it really got me going. It might have, but he just played it calmly. I just don't like things when they get personal from that standpoint. Like, that just sounded like a cheap shot by Will Smith. And I didn't think it. Now, I like rivalries if this is indeed a rivalry. I know that Dodger fans will say it's not. Padre fans will probably say it is. I kind of like the chippiness that is had between the two teams. It makes the series more interesting for me. I just think for one major leaguer to say to another major leaguer, you're irrelevant, I think it's kind of shitty.
Especially guys that have been, you know, been around the league for quite some time. Okay, this isn't like a vet talking to a rookie. I mean, this guy's got much more time than Will Smith. You know, you can say what you want about what type of players they are and whatever, but to say a guy with 10 years in the league is irrelevant, that doesn't make any sense to me, especially nowadays. Getting 10 years is very, very tough. And I will say this. I said this on Talking Baseball earlier. Whether Dodgers fans want to admit it or not, this is a rivalry. It is. It is a star-studded rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, the Padres have – there aren't a lot of teams that have multiple stars on your team. You might have multiple good players, but not stars. The Padres do have at least two stars on their team. Like Xander Bogaerts is a very good baseball player. What I classify as a star is somebody that kind of reaches out past your kind of baseball lore. I think people know all about Tatis.
Yu Darvish is a star?
Yu Darvish is
Ha-Sung Kim is a star?
Yes, when you're incorporating what they mean globally, I would agree with you.
Okay.
Yes, I would agree with you on from that standpoint.
I don't know. I like the matchup. Aesthetically pleasing. I think these guys are dogs on the field. I do think there is a little bit of like, I think there's a little animosity between the two teams.
And I think that's great.
I think so too.
I'm in on it. I still just didn't love the Will Smith comment. There you go. Braves got a series win down in Miami. Marcell Ozuna down to his final strike, hits a home run. That is the series clincher. That was the good news for Atlanta. The bad news is pretty much what we expected. The Spencer Strider arm surgery, he is done for the year. He had that UCL brace surgery. It was not done at UCLA as far as I know. Atlanta does have plenty of pitching options, but in your opinion, do they need to pull the trigger on a big deal in order to get to where they want to get to in October?
It's tough for me because I want to say everyone should add pitching. But this team right now, like their offense is so good. They could ride the offense to a World Series title. And they still have Max Fried. I know he hasn't looked good early in the year, but I believe he'll be fine. Charlie Morton's going to do his thing. Renato Lopez has probably been the best out of all of them. And then you got Chris Sale kind of looking like righteous again. You mentioned that there is a ton of depth. They have it. They kind of like the 4A level. I'm reading right now, they brought up Darius Vines. He's kind of going to get the extended look, but there's other guys that are on the 40 man at these levels. So they can just ride the fifth starter Mobile. But if there's a chance and someone's available at the deadline, like, they want to win the World Series. So if you got to put the pedal down a little bit more, then put the pedal down a little more. It wouldn't surprise me if they went out and did something, Chris. I don't think they need to. I really don't. I think maybe if I'm just thinking about this, you know, over a long season, and I'm assuming the Braves are going to continue to hit the ball, and those four guys I mentioned are going to throw the ball, you know, particularly well, then maybe you go and add some bullpen help or something like that. But I guess any sort of pitching help at the deadline, I mean, if you're thinking World Series or bust, I think you always add when you can.
I would say yes. And it's not because I don't believe in Elder or Smith-Shawver or any of those guys that can help out. Mine is twofold. Number one is obviously to help your team this year, right? If you can get a guy that is available, but I would make it with this caveat. He can't be in his walk year, okay? He has to be under control at least for 2025 as well. That is because if you look at this staff, Max Fried could be gone. You certainly hope with the type of surgery that Spencer Strider would be back at some point next year, but we just don't know. Everybody's arm is different and how you recover and all that sort of stuff. I would imagine, like I said, he will be, but you maybe not at the beginning, maybe not the first 2 or 3 months. And I believe, isn't Charlie Morton in the last year of his deal, or did he receive an extension? That was the one I forgot to check on.
I'm going to get it for you right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He no, he's done.
Okay. So
2 years, 40. That was last year and this year.
Yeah. So that's my whole point here, is that you want to be able to get somebody that can play in an Atlanta uniform for a while. And so why not? Now, I don't know who that is. I really don't. I have to sit down and start looking at guys who might be on teams that fade at some point and can help out. Do the Braves have enough talent? Yes, they do.
I like that answer and the aspect of the question. Like, I think that if they were to approach a pitcher, I mean, I think you could go either way. I think obviously if they're looking at the big picture and this big freaking window that they have, yeah, you want to add for next year as well. So it makes sense.
Okay. Last thing pretty quickly. ESPN got a great shot of the guy who caught the Manny Machado home run at Chavez Ravine last night. And realized that he pulled the old switcheroo while wearing a Dodgers jacket, that he pocketed the Machado home run ball while throwing one that he brought into the stadium back onto the field. And they did a great interview with the guy. Was very funny, to his credit. Is this a thumbs up or thumbs down move by you?
I think it's a thumbs down move. Not necessarily the move. First of all, great catch, sir. Excellent extension there. And I don't mind the thought process behind it, Chris, but the problem is he got caught, like, red-handed and blown up on Sunday Night Baseball. So it's like, when he goes back into the bleachers, you know, everyone's be calling him a ball. He called himself a ball hawk. And, like, those aren't – ball hawks, like, aren't looked upon too fondly at MLB Stadium. So, like, he basically just admitted everything. And now when he goes back, I'm curious to see what the reaction is going to be when he gets into those bleachers. Aren't exactly the, you know, like, there could be some rowdiness out there.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see. Maybe I'm going to the game tomorrow. Maybe if he's out there, I'll go check out what the reaction is.
Yeah, the interview was hilarious, I have to say. I mean, the part about the wife being angry and we don't have enough time on TV to cover the whole bit was, I mean, that was excellent. Chef's kiss on that one. I'm not a fan of this sort of stuff. Like, I don't even understand why you have to throw the ball back. Like, does that mean I've never understood
peer pressure? That's it.
But but what is the whole point of it? Why can't you just keep a home run ball? Like, it doesn't mean that if you throw the ball back on the field that it doesn't count. Machado still touched all the pillows, and at the end of the day, the run still counts. So it wasn't that guy's fault that it was served up.
Henry Rowengardner got signed because he threw a ball back from the stands.
Yeah, because he threw it all the way in the infield, right? Laser shot.
I love that movie. Holy crap.
Yeah. Okay, that'll do it. God, this was a brisk 30 minutes today. Once again, go check out our live show. It is on YouTube. It was a ton of fun. Great energy as well. I will also promote the Tyler Glasnow interview. It's already getting a lot of traction because of the whole arm thing. We talked about it for 15 minutes. I tell you, he was as good as anybody that I've talked to about it. It was fascinating, his perspective. We covered all sorts of angles, a lot of follow-up questions for him, and he was great. He was really, really good. So make sure you check that out. In fact, we might be talking about it on tomorrow's show. You never know. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Tuesday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, for the live edition of Baseball Today.